بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يا رب العالمين last week we started the tafsir of Surah Al-Humazah and we covered just the first ayah. We covered the first ayah of Surah Al-Humazah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he says, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ Woe to every scorner and to every mocker. And we talked about the meaning of humaza and the meaning of lumaza. What them two meant. What was the meaning of these two words, humaza and lumaza? And we said that the meaning is similar. So we mentioned, for example, one of the mufassirun, the scholars, he said that humaza is when you scorn someone, when you talk badly about someone, when you speak ill of another person, but it's behind his back. And lumaza is when you talk badly about someone in front of him, so it's face to face. Other scholars, they said humaza is when you speak badly about someone. When you speak with your tongue and you say bad things about an individual. And lumaza is when you actually physically do something to another person. When you cause some harm to another individual. So in this lesson, inshallah, we're going to be covering the next two ayahs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدَهُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the second ayah of Surah Al-Humazah, he says, those alladhi jama'a malu wa addada, those who collect wealth and continuously count the wealth that they have. Alladhi jama'a malu wa addada. So this attribute, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about? Alladhi jama'a malu wa addada, those who collect wealth and continuously counts it. Allah's carrying on from the first ayah. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ Woe to every scorner and to every mocker. So now he's going into more detail about these two types of individuals. The scorner and the mocker. Humaza and lumaza. So this is describing the first set of characteristics and the first set of people that Allah mentions in the first ayah. So he says, those people, الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالُ وَعَدَّدَ Those who collect wealth and they continuously count it. So it's carrying on from the first ayah. Some of the scholars of qira'ah, of recitation, they say, instead of reciting it as الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدًا, they recite it as الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدًا. So instead of الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدًا, which is, you know, the hafs we are reciting, which is what's known amongst most people, another way of recitation, another way of reciting this ayah, and from them is Kisa'i, the recitation of Kisa'i, they say, الَّذِي جَمَّعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدًا. So what's the difference between the two? What's the difference between saying جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدًا and saying جَمَّعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدًا? What's the difference between these two? When you say جَمَعَ, الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدًا, جَمَعَ means to gather and to collect. Okay? جَمَّعَ, when you put a shadda on the meme, جَمَّعَ مَالٌ وَعَدَّدَ, it means to go to extremes in gathering and collecting. Okay, so it means collecting excessively, collecting lots, going overboard in collecting things. So it's emphasizing this idea of collecting, yeah, and gathering a person's wealth. So this is the difference between جَمَعَ and جَمَّعَ. And Ibn Kathir, he talks about this word, he talks about this ayah, and he says that it means that this individual who's gathering wealth, جَمَعَ مَالٌ وَعَدَّدَ, he piles it one on top of the other. So he keeps on piling the wealth one on top of the other. And Imam Sa'di, rahimahullah, he says that this individual, when he's explaining this ayah, he says this individual doesn't have any interests except that he just wants to gather lots and lots of money. And he doesn't have an interest in spending it for a good cause, or, you know, spending it on his family, or for, you know, for other, you know, good means, spending it in other good ways. He's just interested in gathering all of this wealth. So Allah says, الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدًا, those who collect mal. Those who collect mal. What is mal? Mal is wealth, but wealth can differ. There's different types of wealth. So mal here can have different meanings. One of the scholars, he talked about the word mal, and he talked about the different types of wealth that mal can refer to. So he says, for example, it can refer to palm trees and gardens. So wealth, mal, can refer to palm trees and it can refer to gardens. So a person can say, for example, kharaja fulanun ila mali, that a man, he left and he went towards his mal, towards his wealth. But what does he mean? He doesn't mean physical, like, you know, coins, but he means his garden, and he went to his palm trees and he went to his bustan and his park. So he went to his garden. And it's like, for example, Abu Hurairah radiallahu an, when he was talking about why it was that he was able to memorize so many ahadith, because there wasn't anyone who memorized more ahadith than Abu Hurairah radiallahu an, even though he spent a very small amount of time with the Messenger of Allah. He spent a few years with him, but he memorized so many ahadith. So when it was asked of him, how did you memorize so many ahadith, he said, "Inna ikhwani al-ansar shaghalahum al-amalu fi amwalihim." He said that verily my brothers from the Ansar, they were busy in their wealth. They were busy in their wealth, meaning they had jobs and they had finances and they had things that they had to do. But he mentions the word amwal, which is the jam', the plural of mal. So he says that the people of the Ansar, they were busy with their wealth, meaning with their businesses, with their you know, their farms and, you know, farming and so on and so forth. So Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, here he's basically saying that the reason why I was able to memorize all of these ahadith and narrate so many ahadith was because I spent so much time with the Messenger of Allah. Because I never had no business, I never had no form of tijara, no form of business. You know, even Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu himself, he never used to have his own home. He used to live in the masjid of the Messenger of Allah. That's where he used to live. He used to live in the back part of the Prophet's masjid. Okay, many of the poorer companions, those who couldn't afford homes, they would actually live in the back of the Messenger of Allah's masjid. So he says that they became busy with their wealth, meaning they became busy with their farms and with their palm trees and their gardens and so on and so forth. Abu Talha radiallahu anhu, he says, "Inna ahabba amwali ilayya bi'ruha." He said that the most beloved wealth to me is bi'ruha, is the well of Ha. It's a well which was in Medina. So he mentions wealth here, mal, amwal. He says the most beloved of wealth to me was bi'ruha, and it wasn't coins, you know, it wasn't currency, but it was, you know, a well which described as wealth. And this well, Abu Talha radiallahu anhu, he had the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he used to always go and drink from this well because the water in it was very sweet. And when the ayah was revealed, لَن تَنَرُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, that you will never achieve piety and righteousness until you start giving from that which you love, Abu Talha radiallahu anhu, he went to the Messenger of Allah salam, and he said to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that I'm going to give you, when this ayah was revealed, he said that I want to give from that which I love, and the most beloved thing to me, as we've said, is bi'ruha, is the well of Ha. So I want to give this for charity. So the Messenger of Allah used to love drinking from this well, and he accepted this charity of Abu Talha radiallahu anhu, and it was given to you know, the poorer relatives and family members of Abu Talha radiallahu anhu. So this is the first thing that mal can mean. What's the first thing? Well, what can mal refer to? Okay, so for example, plants, trees, you know, gardens, farming, and so on and so forth. The second thing it can mean is literally coins, yani actual money, okay, currency, gold coins, actual dinars and dirhams in those days, gold and silver coins. The Messenger of Allah at the Battle of Badr, his uncle Al-Abbas was actually fighting on the enemy camp. He wasn't a Muslim yet. So he was captured as a prisoner. And for a prisoner to set himself free, he needs to give wealth. Before the Battle of Badr, Al-Abbas told his wife, whose name was Al-Fadl. He said to his wife, there's some gold coins which have been stashed. Okay, I'm going to stash these gold coins, and they're for you. If anything happens to me, if I don't, you know, if I don't come back, then this money, this wealth that I have, is going to be for you and the children, for you to look, you know, look after yourself and look after your children. And so when he participated in the Battle of Badr and he was captured by the Messenger of Allah, okay, the Messenger of Allah said to him, look, you know, give some money. okay, and will set you free. So Al-Abbas, he said, I don't have any money. He says, I don't have any money to give. You know, only the Quraysh can help me because I don't have any wealth. And so the Messenger of Allah, he said to him, أَيْنَ الْمَالَ الَّذِي عِنْدَ أُمِّ الْفَضْلِ. He said, where is the wealth that you've left with Ummul Fadl? And so Al-Abbas said, how do you know about this wealth? You know, how do you know about this wealth? And so the Messenger of Allah, he said, Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَخْبَرَنِي بِذَلِكَ. He said, verily Allah has told me about this. And there and then Al-Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he becomes a Muslim. So the point is, with this hadith and with this statement, the Messenger of Allah, he says, أَيْنَ الْمَالِ. He says, where is the wealth? أَيْنَ الْمَالِ الَّذِي عِنْدَ أُمِّ الْفَضْلِ. What wealth is he referring to? The gold and the silver, the coins that, you know, that Umm al-Fadl had, that was given to her by her husband Al-Abbas to look after herself and her children if he never returned. So mal refers to these two things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالٌ وَعَدَّدًا. The one who collects wealth and then he counts it. عَدَّدًا. And when we say, just like for example, you have jam, like as we mentioned, jamma'a, which means to excessively, you know, collect. Jamma'a means to collect. Okay, it's just normally collecting. Jamma'a is when you excessively collect. Adada, if somebody was to say adada, okay, not adada, if somebody was to say adada, it means to count. Like, you know, like normally counting something. Adada, what do you think adada means? To excessively count. To go overboard, to make sure you count every single pound and every single penny. Continuously counting. Counting over and over again. Making sure you don't miss anything out. Making sure you're counting over and over again to make sure that nothing of your wealth is being, you know, is gone or is, you know, being wasted or is disappearing. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالُ وَعَدَّدَ. In the next ayah he says, يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَ. يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَ. He thinks that his wealth will make him immortal. He thinks his wealth will make him live forever and ever. So he thinks that it's going to prevent him from dying. He thinks that this wealth that he has so much of it, that he thinks it's going to actually stop him from dying. In fact, he thinks that this wealth that he has is going to increase him in age, and it's going to be able to make him live even longer and live forever. He's never ever going to die. So this is what he thinks with this wealth that he's been given. And a person is given so much wealth, he thinks, I'm never going to die, I'm going to live forever. And even the way he spends that money. You know, sometimes we spend so much money on things as if we're going to live forever and ever. You know, sometimes you see people's houses and the way they're made in such luxury, and how things will, you know, will last, you know, a long, long time. You look at houses which have been around for hundreds of years. You know, you look at castles that people built for themselves, and they were built so well that they're still around up till today. And then you think, subhanAllah, you know, they built these houses in such a way that they thought they were going to live forever. يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَ. They thought that their wealth and what they spent it on, you know, it would make them live forever and ever. So they spend these things on certain things, and, you know, they have this wealth, and they think that because of this wealth, they'll be able to live forever. Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he says, with regards to this ayah, he says that his wealth occupies his time in the day, going from here and there. So all he's doing in his day is just worrying about his wealth, just collecting lots of wealth, collecting from here, making money there. That's the only thing that's on his mind, is how he can make lots and lots of money. And then when the night comes, Ibn Kathir says, when the night comes, he sleeps like a rotting corpse, meaning he's just coming and, you know, he's not really benefiting from anything. You know, all he's interested in is just collecting lots of wealth, and then he sleeps like a rotting corpse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَ. That he thinks that his wealth is going to make him أَخْلَدَ. أَخْلَدَهُ. Which means that it's going to make him immortal. أَخْلَدَهُ means that the word أَخْلَدَ comes from the same root word as Khalid. Okay? And what this means is when something is going to go on, and it's never going to go away. When something lives forever, when something carries on, it's immortal, it's never, never ending. It's something which is always going to continue. So You know, he thinks that with the wealth that he's been given, it's going to make him live forever. So, you know, maybe you've heard of people whose names, you know, their names are Khalid. It's a popular name, the name Khalid, okay? Which comes from the same root, okay? Which means basically to live forever. So the question is, are we allowed to have this name? Are we allowed to have this name, Khalid, which means basically to live forever? Somebody who's, he'll live forever. He's not temporary. Who can tell me? Jazakallah khair. Jazakallah khair. So, if the name wasn't a name which was permissive, which wasn't allowed, then the Messenger of Allah Sallam wouldn't have allowed Khalid ibn Walid, the famous companion of the Messenger of Allah Sallam, to have this name. Okay. So there's nothing wrong with having a name such as this. Also, because the word Khalada and the name Khalid also has other meanings. From the meanings is someone who's outstanding. Someone who's outstanding. So that's another meaning of this word. So this ayah can also mean that, you know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَا لَهُ أَخْلَدَ, he thinks that this wealth that he has is going to make him immortal and he's never ever going to die. It can also mean that a person has become so engrossed, so, you know, involved in his own wealth that he's forgotten about death. He's not thinking about death anymore. He's not thinking about, this thing that's going to happen to every single individual. And it's going to happen to him at some point or another in his life. And he doesn't realize that there's going to be a time where he's going to leave everything behind. That there's going to be a time when that wealth isn't going to be of any use to him. One of the companions of the past, during the time of the Messenger of Allah, Abu Dhal Ghafari. Abu Dhal Ghafari, he used to say that if you're given wealth, don't let that wealth stay with you the following day. You know, spend that wealth as soon as you have it. Spend that wealth. So he was one of those people who, you know, he was very concerned with regards to keeping wealth. And that's the extent that he went to. You know, and in fact, they say that he used to actually advise other companions who, for example, used to build homes, and they used to have businesses, and they used to have, you know, forms of living. He used to actually be very vocal and tell them not to, you know, not to spend their money on these things. And there's nothing wrong with this. Nothing wrong with spending money on those things. But that's the extent that he went to. You know, he was very vocal about it. He used to tell people, you know, don't keep this money. Spend this money as soon as you have it. To a certain extent, that during the time of Uthman radiallahu an, okay, when he was the leader of the Muslims, he told Abu Dhal Ghafari, he said, don't stay in Medina anymore. Because there were so many problems with him and the other companions, and him being so vocal and always getting into, you know, problems and trouble with other companions, that Uthman radiallahu anhu said to him, you need to leave. You can't stay in the city of Medina anymore. So he ended up living elsewhere. So it just shows you the extent that some of the companions went to. So I want to focus a little bit now on what these two ayahs talk about, which is basically bukhl. It's basically stinginess. And the harms of stinginess. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about stinginess in the Quran. And he says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى, as for the one who is stingy, وَاسْتَغْنَى, and doesn't feel like he needs anything, وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى, and he denies the best reward. What is the best reward? The reward that's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى, then we will ease him towards difficulty. Meaning we're going to start making things difficult for him in this life because he's so stingy. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, whenever he would make dua, he would, from the du'as that he would make, was asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect him from stinginess. He would say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-bukhl. He used to say, oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from bukhl, from stinginess. So this is something which even the Messenger of Allah used to supplicate for, or supplicate, you know, that Allah protects him from this. So each and every one of us should also make this supplication, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us from this evil characteristic, which is, you know, being stingy and not giving our wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Messenger of Allah, he also said, Al-Bakhilu man dhukirtu indahu thumma lam yusalli alayh. He said that the stingy one is also the one who, when I am remembered in his presence, he doesn't send peace and blessings upon me, alayhi salatu wasalam. So the stingy one is the one when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's name is mentioned, he doesn't say sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Okay, and even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, he says, Ya ayyuhal, he says, Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. He says that verily Allah himself and the angels send peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah and the Messenger, Allah and the angels. Subhanallah. And then he says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. So it's important for a person to, whenever the Messenger of Allah's name is mentioned, to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also the Prophet sallam, he said, with regards to this, he said that if man salla alayya, sallallahu alayhi bi ashara, that whoever, you know, sends peace and blessings upon me, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send 10 peace and blessings upon that individual, alayhi salatu wasalam. And also from the hadith which talk about wealth and about, you know, stinginess, is when the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that the son of Adam says, mali mali, he says, my wealth, my wealth. And he's so concerned about wealth. He's always worried about making lots and lots of money. And money is something which is never enough. You know, an individual, there's nobody who doesn't want a pay rise. You know, every single person would be happy if you got a pay rise, if you got more money. Nobody would be upset. Nobody was going to say, no, it's okay. You know, so it's something which is natural. You know, it's something which, you know what, as Allah says, وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا. He says about the human being that you love wealth and excessive love. So this is something which is natural. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Messenger of Allah, he says, the son of Adam, he says, mali mali, he says, my wealth, my wealth. And then he says, وَهَلْ لَكَ يَبْنُ آدَمْ مِنْ مَالِكَ إِلَّا مَا أَكَلْتَ فَأَفْنَيْتَ. And then he says, but what do you have from your wealth, O son of Adam, except that which you ate and it was consumed, that which you ate and it was consumed, أَوْ لَبِسْتَ فَأَبْلَيْتَ, or that which you wore and then it was worn out, أَوْ تَصَدَّقْتَ فَأَمْضَيْتَ, or that which you gave in charity and it was sent forward. Meaning it that whatever you gave in charity, the reward stays with you and it carries on, it is sent forward until the day of judgment, may all be added to your scale of good deeds on that day. So these are some of the traditions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi wasalam when he talks about, you know, about wealth itself. And the scholars, they also talk about wealth and they talk about stinginess. And one of the scholars, he said that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants evil for a nation, he makes their leaders from the worst of them. And subhanAllah, you know, we see this today in some societies, in some nations, the worst of them, okay, are the leaders. And then he said, and he makes their wealth belong to the most stingy of them. And we see this today. And those people who have lots of wealth, they're people who aren't satisfied with their wealth. They're not going to give it to charity. They want to make more and more wealth, and they use it for their own selfish needs, and they don't give it to charity like they should. And also one of the scholars of the past, or actually it was Ummul Banin. Ummul Banin was the sister of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, the Amir al-Mu'mineen, the leader of the believers, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. This was his sister. And she said, Uffin lil Bakhil. She said, away with the stingy one. Away with the stingy one. لو كان البخل قميصا ما لبسته. If stinginess was a shirt, I would never wear it. And if stinginess was a pathway or a road, I would never go down that road. I would never take that path. So she's talking about the evils of stinginess and the harms of stinginess. Meaning I wouldn't even go anywhere near, you know, this attribute and this evil characteristic of being stingy. So this is what the scholars talk about with regards to stinginess. And I want to spend a little bit of time, you know, this lasts over 5-10 minutes, talking about the harms of stinginess. What effect does it have on the individual? What happens when a person doesn't give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What effect does it have on him when he becomes stingy? So I want to mention about six things. The first thing is that when a person is stingy, he's prevented from the reward. So you're preventing yourself from being rewarded because you're not giving in charity. So you're preventing yourself from the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have given you, and it may have even been 700 times the reward of you giving that thing that you gave in charity. 700 times. So subhanAllah, you're stopping yourself from receiving that reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing is that it causes weakness in a person's iman because of his bad thoughts of Allah azza wa jal. Causes weakness in a person's iman because of bad thoughts to Allah. How is he having bad thoughts of Allah? How is he having bad thoughts of Allah here? When he's stingy, how is that having bad thoughts of Allah? Okay, jazallah khair. So when he's giving charity, okay, or when he's not giving charity, the reason why he's not giving charity is because he thinks if he gives in charity, he's going to lose all his money. But it's actually the opposite, because the Messenger of Allah, he said, لا ينقص المال بصدقة. That wealth doesn't decrease with sadaqah, with charity. In fact, you increase your wealth when you give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person, it causes his iman to become weak when he doesn't give in charity, and he ends up having bad thoughts of Allah, thinking that, you know, he's not going to get that wealth back, even though it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who provided that wealth for him in the first place. The third thing is that people will dislike him because of this evil characteristic. Subhanallah, it's not something which is just with Muslims. You know, generally across the board, if a person has this characteristic of being stingy, he's not going to be looked at in a good way. No one's going to say, mashallah, this person's stingy. You know, it's a bad thing regardless of where you're from, regardless of your religion or your background, subhanallah. And that just shows you how much of an evil characteristic this is. The fact that wherever you're from, whatever faith you follow, if a person has these characteristics, this characteristic of being stingy, then it's going to be looked down upon. Even, as some of the scholars say, even his own family members will look down upon him. Even his own family members. Which is, subhanAllah, it's interesting, and it does happen. If a person's stingy and he's from your family members, you know, you're going to criticize him. You're going to look down on him. You're not going to, you know, look up to that individual. You're not going to, you know, respect that person, even if he's from your own family members. Because certain sins, certain things that a person might do, you might overlook them. You know, you might even defend that person for those sins he might commit, even though it's wrong. But with stinginess, in which even the own family members will start criticizing him for. You know, the spouse will start criticizing the husband for not giving him, you know, for not giving her enough money, for example. Or the children will start complaining because they want money. Whatever it is. So it's something which even family members will criticize an individual for if he has this evil characteristic. Also, the fourth thing is that it will prevent a person's wealth from increasing, as we mentioned. It will prevent a person's wealth from increasing. So just like, for example, if a person gives in wealth, it will increase his wealth. If a person stops giving in charity, if a person stops giving his wealth for the sake of Allah, it's going to stop his wealth from increasing. The fifth thing is that a person would be sinful for not giving wealth when he's obligated to give that wealth. For example, spending on his family. That's an obligation. And so he's sinful if he doesn't spend on his family members. And also giving zakah. If a person refuses to give zakah because he's stingy, then this, you know, is something which he's sinful for, because he's obligated as a Muslim to give zakah, to give charity. The sixth thing is that it will result, one of the scholars, he said that one of the effects of not giving in charity, he said that it will result in a person's sins being exposed and made apparent in front of the people, subhanAllah. A person who is stingy, his sins will start becoming exposed and made apparent to people. And a person who gives in charity, one of the scholars, Shamsuddin al-Sufairi, he said that as-sakha'u wal-karam sababun li satri al-uyub. He said that when a person is generous and he's noble and he's kind and he gives in charity, it's one of the reasons, one of the ways in which a person's uyub, a person's sins, a person's faults are covered up. And then he said, "والبخل والشح سبب جالب لكشفها." And he said that stinginess and miserliness is one of the causes and one of the reasons which make a person's sins and a person's faults become apparent and exposed to other individuals. And he also mentioned some poetry. He said, "ويظهر عيب المرء في الناس بخله ويستره عنهم جميعا سخاؤه." He said, "And the faults of the person are seen due to his stinginess, and they all covered up due to his generosity." So, due to a person's stinginess, a person's faults become exposed, and they all covered up due to his سخاؤه, due to his generosity. And then he said, "تغطى بأثواب السخاء فإنني." He said, "They are covered with the reward of generosity. For verily I أرى كل عيب والسخاء غطاؤه." See all my faults, and generosity conceals them. He says, "I see all my faults, but generosity conceals them up." So if a person doesn't want anybody to know about his sins, if a person doesn't want anybody to know about his shortcomings, about his faults, then he should give in charity. So what is the worst type of stinginess? What is the worst type of stinginess that a person could have? Ibn Qudamah rahimahullah, he says that the worst type of stinginess is when a person is stingy upon his own self when it's in a time of need. So when a person needs something, when there's a haja for something, when he needs new clothes, when he needs to eat, when he needs some necessities, and he's stingy on buying those things because he's afraid that he's going to lose all his money. Ibn Qudamah says this is the worst type of stinginess. When a person won't even spend on himself, you know, when he needs that wealth, when he needs those things that he needs. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He protects us from this evil characteristic in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this surah. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ. If there's any questions, and I'll do my best to answer them, inshallah. So الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدَ. عَدَّدَ is a fi'l. عَدَّدَ is a fi'l. Because it means you're counting something. So we said عَدَّدَ is to count something. عَدَّدَ is to go overboard in counting something. Counting every single thing. Going over and over something and counting it over and over again. Because you're afraid that you maybe missed out a pound here or a pound there. And you're always counting. So عَدَّدَ is a fi'l. What was the other word? أَخْلَدَ. أَخْلَدَ is also a fi'l. Because it means أخلده. Okay, he thinks that that wealth is going to make him immortal. So it's also a fi'l as well. It's a doing word. A fi'l is a doing word. عَدَّدَ, yeah, they're both fi'l madi. Yeah, they're both past tense. أخلده and عَدَّدَ. بَرَكَلَّهُ فِيكَ. Because أخلده, one of the ways that you can know that it's past tense is the ضمير. Okay, is at the end of the fi'l. So أخلده, the ha is referring to that individual. It's going to make him immortal. Yeah. So أخلده, that's one of the ways of knowing is past tense. We're going into Arabic now. So sorry. Yeah. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Can't be a good Muslim until unless he will like whatever he likes for himself.
what's the best way to approach that brother? I mean, generally, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, kalimatan tayyiba, speaking good words. So if you can talk to him in a positive way, okay, and mention some of the good attributes that that person has, before you criticize him, before you mention, you know, his shortcomings and the things that he's doing wrong, that's a good way, you know. So instead of going straight away and telling him, you know, you're doing this wrong, you know, he might think, you know, he might take offense to it. But if you praise the brother first, say good things about the brother, you know, and say, you know, mashallah, I see that you do this and you do that, and that's really good. But you know, I've noticed that you do this, and you know, and advise him in this way. Maybe it's, you know, it's a better way. You know, if you feel uncomfortable, okay, and you want someone else to get involved, then inshallah it wouldn't be considered backbiting, because eventually you're going to talk to the brother, you know, and your intention is to help that brother. So inshallah, from what I can see. Yeah, of course, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with keeping wealth in case of a contingency, you know, as long as it's not like, you know, £99 and then £1 for your family. As long as you divide it properly, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. You look at the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, when the king had the dream, you know, and the king had the dream, and he said, you know, I saw seven skinny cows eating seven fat cows. Yusuf alayhi salam told him that, you know, first 7 years, harvest most of the food. You know, keep most of the food, you know, for a rainy day. And then the next 7 years, you're going to have a famine. So use that food that you harvested in the first seven and spend it and eat it in the next seven. So nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with keeping.